Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. As I continue to preach in your hearing, a simple message titled "The Importance of Bringing Others to Jesus Christ." Part 5, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 700, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1065, since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads, "And Jesus went about all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Notice what Jesus is announcing here. There are souls out there ready to get saved, but the laborers are few to go and reap them. Then he says, he gives us something to do which we have failed at. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest," pray to the Lord, "that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So we have failed and have disobeyed God. We have failed God and we have disobeyed God by not going into the harvest field to win those who are ready to be saved. And we have sinned against God by not even praying to the Lord to send laborers into the field, including us. That's a double whammy. It's a double sin. God have mercy upon our souls as Christians. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, and it is very convicting already. And we pray that it would find a lodging place in our hearts. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins of not witnessing as we should to those who are in the harvest field. And forgive us of our sin of not praying to you, Lord, asking you to send others and ourselves into the field to reap the harvest, to win souls to Christ. And Holy Father God, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us to repent of our evil ways and of these sins, and to turn away from them and to do them from now on. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Help us to realize the importance of bringing people to Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Joseph Exel said, and he's kind of going deep here, so you have to put your thinking cap on. He said Christ's healing activity had this double value. It was evidence of his divine authority as a teacher. It was a picture in detail addressed to the sense of what, as a restorer of our race, he meant to do in regions altogether beyond the sphere of sense. We may infer with reverence and certainty that his first object was to show himself as the restorer of human nature as a whole, not of the reason and conscience only, not of the reason and conscience only without the body. I told you he was going deep. As an evangelist, God called me as an evangelist from the jump. I'm mainly concerned about one thing, getting your soul saved from hell. I do thank God for those true pastors who have a broader focus than I do. And they're concerned about many things in the lives of the saints. From this passage in the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at the importance of bringing people to Jesus Christ, of witnessing to those who are unbelievers. We saw the example of those who brought the dumb man to Jesus, and he was delivered not only from his dumbness, as the Bible called it back in those days, but from demon possession. This chapter closes with a few verses summarizing Jesus's ministry. If we are to bring people to Jesus, if we are to witness to people for Jesus, we should follow our Lord's example. Number one, teaching people God's word. Number two, first teaching people God's word and his ways. Jesus did this by explaining the Old Testament scriptures in the synagogues. He started with something the people were familiar with. And then number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Number three, Jesus then moved on to something that was new, letting people know that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we see that Jesus drew people to himself by addressing their physical and temporal needs. The Bible says he healed every sickness and every disease among the people. Their felt needs, he met them by the grace of God. And we thank God for the Southern Baptists. We thank God for the National Baptists and the hundreds of ministries they have reaching out to people around the world. We thank God for CBN's outreach around the world. We thank God for Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, because they focus on meeting the felt needs of the people. Food to eat, water to drink, medical attention. And we thank God for those ministries that they make sure they share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ after they meet those needs. Amen, somebody. And if you can't go, send your money. They need money. They have planes, they have helicopters, they're building hospitals, building buildings. They need financial help. And if you don't support And I'm not a friend of Franklin Graham, or, and he's not my friend or anything. We don't know each other. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association invited me up to the private funeral of Dr. Billy Graham, and I thank God for that experience. We have never supported the Billy Graham organization down through the years, but we have supported, and I liked Billy Graham much more than I like Franklin Graham, but we support Franklin's ministry, the Samaritan's Purse. And if you don't support that ministry, I would lovingly encourage you to do so. Because here's what I know. Two or three things. Number one, they're going to meet the needs of the people, or they are going to try very hard to. Number two, they will present the gospel to the people after those needs are met. Number three, God will bless you if you send them money. I'm a living witness of that. And I promise you that will happen. So, and there are other ministries. The ministry out in Washington State, World Vision, we support them as well. We support CBN's outreach ministry. There was a outreach ministry like that run by a black bishop out in California. We were supporting them for a while, but they saw fit to close down. And so I can't recommend them to you right now. But we support these and many others, and we would encourage you, if you can't go, if you can't help, if you can't, you're not a doctor, you're not a nurse, and you can't build buildings, send your money so that they can get wells for people to get clean water, so that they can provide food to eat. Dr. James Robinson's ministry, support them. Do something. If you can't do this, do that. And so from all of the Gospels, we also know that Jesus fed the hungry. Amen, somebody. Don't go and try to witness to somebody and the man is starving to death. Let's get some real bread. Let's get some bread to that man, some physical bread, and then give him the bread of life. He can probably hear you better if you give him some physical bread first, and give him some water to drink, and he might be able to sit up and listen to you. Tell him about Jesus. He can be saying, yeah, okay, while he's eating. Okay, get him some chicken and something to eat, something to drink, and he might listen to you when you share the gospel. And Jesus cast out demons and conducted the course of nature for the benefit of people. Additionally, he was called on to judge disputes between individuals, the felt needs of people, the injustices that people face, to provide advice on matters related to life in this world, such as divorce and paying taxes. Because God made the body and not just the soul, He is very concerned about our physical lives here on earth. Not only were our souls affected by the fall, everything about us has been affected. Our bodies and the entire cosmos were affected as well. We get sick because of our sinful nature and sin. The animal kingdom suffers violence and decay because of man's sin. When we sinned against God, we messed up everything. And when you sin on an individual basis, in your family, in your personal life, you mess up everything. The earth is at war with itself via tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, and many other things because of sin. The work that Jesus began on the cross is sufficient, not only for the redemption of our souls, the souls of mankind, but it is the beginning of God's plan to redeem all of creation and bring the cosmos, if you will, back into harmony with himself. The gifted theologian R.C. Sproul said, "Some people talk about salvation as if it is exclusively spiritual, implying that God is concerned only with the souls of people, and that this world, the physical realm, is a throwaway in his eternal purposes. And that is not the case." He goes on to say, "The truth is that the created order will be redeemed as well. In fact, creation is eagerly awaiting the revealing of the sons of God. While the status and benefits merited by Jesus are fully ours, even now, we do not yet experience them in their fullness. The remnants of sin, sad to say, still plague us, and our suffering continues." Paul tells us that creation was subjected to futility and put in bondage to corruption. Creation awaits the day of resurrection when we come into full possession of all that we have in Christ Jesus. Because at that point, the world will be set free as well. In the meantime, we can alleviate the suffering of the world by the grace of God and all who are in it by doing what Jesus did and helping people with their felt needs, and at the same time introducing them to Jesus Christ for their soul's salvation. So, beloved, if we are to demonstrate the full range of God's love and compassion to the lost, we must show that we care about the well-being of the whole person. As we are teaching and preaching the gospel with the goal of bringing others to Jesus, we must live out the gospel by lending a helping hand to our friends and to our neighbors and even to our enemies, wherever we find them. Amen, somebody. If they're thirsty, let's give them some water first, and then we can give them the water of life. If they're hungry, let's give them some bread first, and then we can give them the bread of life. That's what Jesus would have us to do. Now, mind you, don't get stuck over there helping people with their felt needs, because that's what some of us do, because that is easier to do. If you don't believe me, just go to your church and say, "We want to go over here at the fire station and we want to unload a semi-truck, 18-wheeler, and give out food to the community free." And you'll have a crowd of people ready to go do that. But if you said, "Okay, now, and we're going to give 100 families almost a week of groceries, 5 to 6 days. Family of 4 to 6. And they'll be out there with bells on, ready to give out money. Got the tennis shoes on, the skinny jeans, and they're ready to serve. But you tell the same group, I mean, you'll have hundreds out there ready to do that. And that's good to do. But you tell the same group, we're going to go into a community and we're going to spend half the day knocking on doors and telling folks about Jesus, passing out gospel literature. You're going to get the remnant only, and that's going to be about 3 or 4 people who love Jesus. So don't get stuck on that side of just meeting the physical needs of people. Make sure that at the end of the day, if you will, you're going to share the gospel with those people. It's fun helping people. It's a great old time. It just brings so much happiness to our lives when we do that. God wants us to witness to them too. He wants their souls saved, their lives changed, so that they can experience the same joy you experience. We have an example in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who not only aided men and women in their distress, but took the time to meet them where they were in life, whether that was at weddings, at dinner parties, in a sick room, at a funeral, or on the deck of a fishing boat. Jesus was there, and he was on point. He showed he cared about every aspect of their lives. And if we are to bring people to Jesus Christ, we must do the same. Amen, somebody. Ella Edmiston wrote, "Are you working for the Master? Are you toiling day by day? Are you sowing seeds of kindness for the reapers on the way? Hear you not the Master calling for glad toilers, brave and true? Will you enter now the harvest, for the call is unto you? There's a work for all, my brother. Sheaves are falling by the way. Go you forth into the harvest. Enter now without delay." Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done and what you're doing. And we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and for your Holy Word. And you, Lord, you know how many satanic attacks we're facing because we're proclaiming your gospel each and every day, preaching your Holy Word, teaching people about you. And the devil is mad about it, and he's trying to fight it and tear it down as quickly as he can. And I thank you for protecting us thus far, and I pray that you will continue to do that. Surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil today. And Lord, we thank you for your holy word that reminds us to get the gospel out to people, but at the same time love people and help meet their physical needs as you did. And we pray now that you would open their blinded eyes, those who are not saved, and save their souls from eternal death in that awful place called hell or the lake of fire. And Lord, we pray for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel through this ministry and to be saved. 3 million Christians to be revived, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and the punishment of sin in hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. So have I, and so has the Pope and everybody else in the world. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment always for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." You are going to get paid one day for your sins. The wages, your payment, your check will be death. The wages of sin, Danae, is death. We die physically, our bodies go to the grave, our soul goes to hell, to experience an eternal death in hell. That's the wages of the sins of a lifetime. Sins of having sex outside of marriage, The sin of pride, the sin of lying, the sin of practicing witchcraft, the sin of being a homosexual, the sin of being a heterosexual, committing adultery and fornication, having sex outside of marriage, stealing, and on and on. The wages of all of those evil things we did is death, and eternal death in hell. You don't believe that there's a hell? Well, Jesus Christ preached on hell. He said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible also says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So we see that hell, the lake of fire, is bad news. It is eternal death, separated from God forever in torment. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that word "whosoever" means anybody at any time, "believeth in him," believeth in Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. He paid our sin debt. He paid your sin debt. And all you have to do to reap the benefits of that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. And pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. And here's God's promise on it. Romans 10:9-13, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Saved from what? Saved from what I just told you. Eternal death in hell. This is your eternal life insurance policy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you want to be saved today, believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt. He was buried and rose again. Pray and ask him to save you. It is as simple as that. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, if you want to pray the sinner's prayer with me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul from hell. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, took away your sins as well as mine and everybody else's, for he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. If you believe that in your heart today, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free information and material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, I want to remind you that God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.